Welcome back to The Trendline, making sense of what's new and next in politics. Here's Kristen Soltis Anderson.
I'm joined now by Rich Tao, president of Engages. He is the moderator of the high-profile Swing Voter Project. He conducts this in partnership with Axios, and each month he's moderating focus groups of Trump-Biden swing voters. And this month he's been talking to Wisconsin swing voters about TikTok, China, and more. Thank you so much for joining me, Rich.
It's great to be back.
So again, these are voters who we're considering them swing voters because they backed Donald Trump in 2016, but then they switched to back Joe Biden in 2020. This past week, we had hearings on the Hill about TikTok as Congress contemplates whether or not to ban it entirely in the U.S. Tell me a little bit about what you heard from your focus group respondents about the prospect of banning TikTok.
It did not go over well.
Tell me why.
Well, so there are a lot of concerns about slippery slopes. If you ban TikTok, you'll ban other things, that people have First Amendment rights to do this. And I would say arguably among the most important reasons was that the case hadn't been made by political leaders in the U.S. about the imperative of doing it.
Let's take a listen. You asked your respondents about this. We've got a clip of some of your respondents talking about why they would be opposed to a TikTok ban. Let's take a listen.
You start there. What are you going to go to next? What's next? It's people's rights to express themselves, no matter how, you know, if they're not inciting riots or something, it's not against the law. I just think that if you start banning that, they're going to start banning other things.
I think it's anyone's freedom to download any app they want on their phone as long as they're not committing a crime.
There is swaths of incredible pieces of technology that come into our country, manufactured, made, directed by China. TikTok happens to be one of those things. So we have tons and tons and tons of things coming from them anyway. This is just another thing.
My biggest concern is the fact if you're giving the president power over what's allowed and what's not, who's ever in charge at the time, my concern is they can make a blanket decision if they don't like something going on and just shut it down.
I do think there's a fine line there. All of a sudden you get the government telling you what you can and can't watch, what you can't have on your phone, what you can't have on your phone. All of a sudden it's pretty close to becoming a dictatorship, right? And that's not something that I want.
Now, I'm fascinated by this because in the polling that I've seen on it, a TikTok ban tends to be relatively divisive, but it actually gets a reasonable amount of support from voters overall. There's a particularly strong support among Republicans. Now, of course, it's not necessarily that strong among people who use TikTok and like it, particularly younger voters. In your focus group, did any of these respondents actually use TikTok themselves, or was it more just, hey, if somebody wants to do this, they should be allowed to?
So just for context, all 12 had heard of TikTok. Half of them use it themselves. All but one has family using it, and all had heard about Congress possibly banning it. So that just gives you a little sense of the group. So half of them were using it themselves.
Interesting. Now, the big objections to TikTok are kind of twofold. One is around TikTok's influence on our culture, the fact that the algorithm is very powerful and can really shape the way, you know, particularly young people are thinking about things. And so if you're concerned about, say, foreign interference in our politics, if you were really spun up about, say, oh my goodness, Facebook is making it possible for our Russian adversaries to push pro-Trump messages, like, the one argument about TikTok is that it's that on steroids, but instead of being controlled by, you know, Russian trolls, it's like literally the Chinese Communist Party is the allegation. The second allegation is around national security and the security of the data that is owned by TikTok because its parent company, ByteDance, of course, being a Chinese company, the rules are a little different in China. Let's take a listen to what your respondents had to say about national security and TikTok.
I don't buy any of it. I think it's a hoax, just like the coronavirus and Fauci and all that. I don't buy nothing, the government say, if there's no proof behind it.
I don't know what a national security threat is anymore. People tell me that that's abortion on one side, or that's the borders on one side. Everything's a national security threat. And I think that's an attempt to bring it to the forefront in people's minds and make it more than maybe it really is.
What if something truly is a national security threat? How would you know? I understand you're hearing a lot of false stories about things that are being made out to sound like national security threats. I completely understand your objection and your concern. But doesn't it worry you on some level if there's a real threat?
Yeah.
That we'd be in real trouble because everybody would go, well, maybe this isn't a real threat. Maybe it's like all the other ones. They're fake threats.
Yeah, I think the question is answered with the question. How would I know? I don't know. There's no source that I trust completely, right? The only way I would be able to say that is if like Trump and Biden went hand in hand and said like, hey, listen, guys, this is serious. Like then maybe, because the world is so polarized right now, and it would take some like immaculate event to create that level of concern in me.
Well, tell me a little bit then about, if many of your respondents, and not all of them, but some of them, did feel like, look, I don't want this to get banned. I'm not actually that concerned about it. Do they have any concerns about China itself more broadly? Are they worried about China's rising influence in the world along any particular dimensions?
Well, they are concerned about China from an economic perspective. I'd asked them whether they were worried about a shooting war with China within the next few years, and none of them are. So this whole idea that sort of Taiwan will blow up into some shooting war and we're going to go and send our fighter jets there and troops, that was completely out of the realm of the possible in their minds. They just did not even consider that, thought it was completely implausible. But what they do think is that we're fighting an economic war, that they have the ability to deny us things that we need. They're concerned about supply chains going back to the pandemic. They realize it's important for us to make things here, and that China, that we're highly reliant on China. And that's the thing that gets them riled up. But to tie that, Kristen, back to TikTok, that's a logic chain that they don't make. They don't fully see the danger of China from a national security threat being associated with TikTok. And so the threat for them is, oh, they're taking our jobs, they're making stuff that we need. If things go bad in China, we won't get what we need. That's where their concerns are. It's not about TikTok and data. And that's where our leaders have, and from the perspective of these respondents, completely failed to make the case about why banning TikTok is an important thing to do.
Let's take a listen to your respondents talking about whether or not they see China as a threat.
Obviously, it's a very populous, technologically savvy, innovative nation. I mean, population and the ability to do many of the same things that we can do is a threat. Not saying that they're an enemy, but definitely a threat.
I think some of it is just the culture, maybe manipulation, propaganda, and just, the things they can exert over their citizens to follow whatever is dictated.
They're not a military threat to us, but economically they could be. I don't see them as a big threat right now, but obviously from a manufacturing perspective, a lot of what we import is from China, which gives them some leverage.
One thing I'm curious about, Rich, and you and I have talked about this before offline, but I'm curious for your take on sort of the politicians who are very alarmed about China, who do believe that China's rising influence in the world does pose a threat to the United States, to sort of free-thinking democratic countries all around the world. I have been arguing that I think framing it as competition doesn't necessarily work with a lot of Americans, precisely for what you're finding, which is that they don't necessarily view us as losing ground to China, that if we're losing ground, it's for other reasons, things they think are wrong internally in the U.S. that we're doing to sabotage ourselves, not that some other country is coming to eat our lunch, and that it's better to frame it as sort of protecting America and our allies from sort of influence or threats. But I'm curious what you think about this, because you've done so much research, not just these focus groups, but on other topics. What are you hearing more broadly about how people think about competition with China versus kind of protecting us from influence from China?
Well, they definitely see it as a competition, and they see China as a competitor and also as a threat. It's not as though they're mutually exclusive. I think it depends on the person, depends on the degree of, part of it perhaps is xenophobia, part of it is paranoia, part of it is just feeling like America is being besieged in a whole variety of ways. Part of it goes back to the shipping of jobs overseas and manufacturing shipped overseas. Part of it is feeling as though America is not in control anymore. You heard that one person reference manufacturing and how reliant we are on what's manufactured overseas. So I think all these things are a complex web of concerns, and it's hard to say clearly that it's one or the other. And I don't know really how to pull it apart more thoroughly than that, other than maybe if, you know, maybe some of your polling had, and I think some of your polling has shared this over the years, has shown this over the years in terms of what is driving the concerns that people have about China. The thing I'd be curious about, and I'd love to see polling on it if you've ever done it or anybody else has done it, is concerns about China vis-a-vis concerns about Mexico. So you've got the immigration concerns about Mexico, but you also have the manufacturing concerns and the jobs being shipped overseas concerns. And I just wonder whether if we compare the two to each other, maybe we'd be able to tease out some of these concerns more clearly in terms of what's driving Americans and their worries about specific other countries, both economically and national security wise, because I think maybe that comparison might have some value. As I'm talking about with you, I'm thinking maybe I want to spend some time on it in my next groups that we're doing in Pennsylvania in April.
Oh, fantastic. So is that the preview of what's next, Pennsylvania, April? Do you know what topic you'll be focused on most?
So I want to spend time in April on AI. And ChatGPT, I want to know who's tested it, what they thought about it, what they've heard about it, whether they see that's a threat to their jobs, a threat to education. I think there's a whole bunch of different directions I want to go in on the AI side. I'm extremely curious about that.
Fantastic. Well, Rich, I can't wait to hear what you come back with. Thank you so much for joining me. It has been a real pleasure having you on the show today.
Thanks, Kristen.